This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Not everyone is careful with your personal information, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the U.S. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year by visiting LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen Hilton.
With guest host Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And look out, Bailey Clark pushes Angel Reese.
It's just a good take foul, you know?
Today's guests, legendary sports radio host Chris Mad Dog Russo, Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer Vincent Goodwill, host of ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hello, everybody. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Thrilled to be here with you again. I feel like I'm here a lot right now, and I'm okay with it, by the way. I'm okay with it, although I had much more attractive co-hosts the other day. Is that wrong to say? It was a women's sports now takeover here on the Rich Eisen Show
wrong.
On Friday.
And also very accurate.
Also sitting in your chair was Sarah Tiana. Hi, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
By the way, very attractive
I've got,
and funny.
I've got no voice. I'm sunburnt. I got no voice.
Dude, you're wrecked.
I'm on 2 hours sleep. Let's go.
I walked into the makeup room this morning. I was like, oh, you look
yeah.
rough.
Yeah, I look rough. I feel rough. I sound rough. But I'm here.
Yeah, you're here.
Let's go.
You're here.
Let's
we're ready
go.
To go.
Great to see you. Oh, also, we're playing Family Feud for 3 hours today, right?
Just so you know, all people want to do on this show, there are two things they want to do. Win-loss, which,
win-loss
by
game.
The way, 844-204-RICH is the number to call.
Grill.
And you know what? I will play it every day, all day, because I love win-loss. All right? So see this? If you call in, I'm going to take your call. So please call in. 844-204-RICH is the number to call.
TJ, thank you for the grid. I assume that you laminated the grids.
Good morning, TJ.
I didn't need one.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome back, bud.
I'm good. How you been?
I'm so good.
Yeah, I think you were a little too good, to be honest with you.
Tell me why.
Well, Friday, you guys did your little takeover.
With your cute little Colleen Wolf sitting there. By the way, like everybody on the comments, and I did look at the comments because I wanted to go check one thing out. They're like, TJ looks really hot today.
Look, it's the best I've ever looked, but that's literally not the point. The point is you guys come and do your little thing, and now we got to read these comments saying, you know, they should replace Brockman. They should replace TJ. That ain't cool. We need jobs.
That ain't cool.
And RJ killed it for Mike Del Tuvo. Good morning, Mike.
Hey. You got static in your ear?
Not yet.
I cannot believe
not
you called
yet.
Me out on that.
Not yet.
I'm so
upset. Not yet. Not yet, I don't.
I was like, come on.
Not yet, I don't.
Good morning,
but, you know,
Susie.
There's always, good morning, Mikey.
Yep.
How are you guys? 844-204-RICH is the number to call. Chris Mad Dog.
Phone lines are lighting up already. Let's go.
Yeah, they are. Because
people are mad that
you
we're
guys,
back.
You know
that's
I
why.
Love this. Like, let's clear these. And I
they're
will
like,
not
we're
end this
Sarah
show.
The Wolf ad.
I will not
back.
End this show without those call lines like cleared out. I'll be like, okay, see you rolling through in the second quarter.
You love callers.
Do you know what I mean? I do love callers. Chris Mad Dog Russo. No, guys, I feel really lucky. I make some calls, and I really want to deliver when I'm in the chair for Rich. So Chris Mad Dog Russo will be in the first hour, Vincent Goodwill in the second hour, and my great friend Stephen A. Smith in the third hour. And I can't wait to chew up what we were just talking about, TJ, about, you know, I had on the back of my door as a kid in New England, I had the
poster of Larry Bird,
the Magic Larry back-to-back.
Oh,
poster. I
one.
Also had a Michael Jackson one, but and I wrote him letters, but that's a whole nother conversation.
It's a different show that
it's
we
another
could,
show
that we could do for 3 hours.
Years of therapy.
Greatest entertainer
years
of all
of therapy.
Time. Don't get it twisted.
That said, I did have that poster.
The, you know, like because, the Converse you know, weapon one?
As your mother would say, as a lead pipe wielding professional sports fan, I'm sorry, Mrs. Brockman.
No, it's Sarah's mom.
Is it Sarah's mom?
Takes note of when Rich always says lead pipe and has no idea what it means. Did you guys get to the bottom of that on Friday or no?
No, we talked about other things, but that's another conversation. You know, if you live in New England, you have to be a sports fan. Like, that's how I got here. Yeah. And so I had that poster on the back of my door. I also had a Terry O'Reilly poster that I sold to my brother for money because the ice cream truck was coming and I heard it. So I sold it. It was signed, personalized, whatever. But that's what we're seeing. And I'm going to start the show talking about Caitlin Clark for a second and Angel Reese, because we will talk about that with Stephen A. Smith, because that was kind of an incredible. I sat around on Saturday. I sat on my butt. I was so tired all week. Went to New York and back, did a lot of stuff, a couple shows. And I watched three WNBA games in a row. And I said to my kids, go away. Don't talk to me. I'll talk to you later. But that foul really kind of lit up. That foul with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, TJ, it lit up the room.
Of course
it was kind of fun to watch.
Those two are combustible.
It's chatty. So we'll get to that with Stephen A. Smith, along with, I don't know, game sevens and things like that, looking ahead at this week.
The mere mention of those two together just brings out the absolute worst in social media.
Of course it does. Of course it does. It's now racially charged. Yeah. It's now, pitting different groups against each other. But you know what else it's doing? It's driving eyes. It's driving eyes. Renee Montgomery on Women's Sports Now. She and I will chew this up on Wednesday.
I like it.
We shoot it on Wednesday. It airs on Thursday. Sarah Tiana, Colleen Wolf, we're going to have this for lunch.
Can Brockman and I sit in for one of those? Like we do a home and home? Can we?
Oh, that's an interesting idea. We could do that. Like when one of us is out.
Case? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, it's only fair.
It's only fair. Exactly. It's only fair.
You know what I mean? Okay. Since I'm about to lose my job, let me get a few more reps in.
My shrink would say a fair. Stop using the word fair after age 8. I'm just saying, what is fair?
Also, everyone would be like, oh man, they got a lot of hair. Rich and Chris have so much hair.
That was hair.
Come on, what are you doing?
It's always the hair.
It's fruit and it's low hanging.
It's not even hanging. It's resting on the ground.
And Taylor says to me, Mom, are my kids going to be bald?
Yes.
It's supposed to be your mother's father.
Mother's father.
Your mother's father.
Your mother's father.
It's supposed to be your mother's father. My father, God bless him, the day he died, had a great head of blonde hair. And he was the vainest person you've ever met in your life. So even when my dad had dementia, he would FaceTime Rich and say, oh my God, where'd your hair go? I'm like, even my dad's going to take a dig. And Cooper's like, Mom, I think I'm going bald. I'm like, you're 14. You're fine.
I when I was 15, we shaved it for basketball and, didn't... Really?
What do
come
you mean
back?
You shaved it for basketball? By the way, this is not how I thought the show was going to start.
Your head. You're like 15. You're like, oh, we're going to all buzz our heads for basketball season. You do it. And then when I'm a senior, they're saying, don't let the bald guy shoot. You know what I mean?
That sucks.
So.
That sucks.
It's rough out in them streets, TJ.
Hey, being bald is free,
it's hard to be a saint in the city.
I used to go bald every summer back in the day. And it was awesome.
It was freeing.
Freeing.
This is not how I saw the show starting. Yeah. I thought we were going to start like, hey, everybody, Thunder 125 and OKC.
Can we get a good game seven? These game sevens have been dog ass.
Hey, Aaron Gordon had a point, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, maybe an extra day. Give him a little bit more rest once you get, especially when you get to this stage of the playoffs.
I mean, he would have liked an extra day for sure.
Well, he would have liked an extra day, and there's no doubt that Jokic would have liked an extra day for him. But
Would have liked some extra teammates upon his post game.
Well, let's listen to Jokic for a second. Nikola Jokic saying this after the game. This is what he had to say about Gordon.
I mean, I told him to not play. You can injure yourself even worse. You can see that he was struggling a little bit, hard to move and this and that. So, but he's alive. He went out there and fight with us, and we can just appreciate that.
Okay, can you imagine?
Yeah, love the Joker.
I know. I love him because he's rational. Okay, he wants to go back. He wants to see his horse.
No BS.
He wants to hang out and play. Right. But can you imagine Michael Jordan saying, "Hey, you shouldn't play"? Let him rest. He would be flogging Scottie Pippen's
all right.
ass and saying, get out there, tape it up, put some Sombra cream on. Like, can you imagine him saying, like, you're hurt. You take it easy.
No.
So when I saw that soundbite, I was like, that's a weird soundbite.
Especially for game 7.
Right? I would be like, you get your butt out there. When Mackenzie hurt her finger in the first minute of the game yesterday, I said, tape it up, you 11-year-old. Get out there. She's actually 12.
You 11-year-old.
My point is, like, he's clearly not from New England, right? I mean, I told him not to play. Really? How'd you? I mean, when I heard that, I just thought to myself, I know he wants to win another championship, but I can't remember the last time I heard a player tell another player, you're hurt, you've got a strained hamstring, you just sit this one out. I don't know, maybe he watched the Thunder go on that 18-5 run, but maybe he just realized, I don't know what it was, but it just seemed to me that it was the strangest comment. Thoughts, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to us, maybe it sounded strange. I'm sure in his head, he was just like, look, man, we need to be full strength this time of year in the playoffs if we have a chance. You know, we know that we're the underdog in this series. Oklahoma City's been the favorite for the NBA championship virtually all season.
I mean, all season, right?
Yeah, they've been the best team in the league all year. They got the MVP of the league. You know, you can debate that, but Shea is going to win. And so he's just like, man, I wish my team was at full strength. Because that's kind of the only way we can beat these guys.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I heard it.
SGA, 35 points on 12 of 19. Also, Jalen Williams, 24 points on 10 of 17. And then he had those 11 points on that 5-for-5 shooting in the second. And it was, you know, every so often in the NBA, you're like, well, here come the young guys. And this is the transition of basketball. And we're watching this team take over. It really was fun watching them because it did feel as though it was their defense and the turnovers that won the game for them in so many ways. But it was just like, I like it when you watch the association and it just feels like unbridled fun, right? Just going on a total rampage. And yes, we've got these two games coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday, of course, on ESPN, Wednesday on TNT. And I'll be watching those. Teej, will you be watching?
Of course I'll be watching.
Yeah, you will.
You know, it finally seems like this is the first time, guys, that, you know, we've always heard that youth is served, or youth will be served, right? And the next era is taking the place. Well, I think we've actually finally reached that point where the young guns have officially taken over, especially when you consider who's in the running to win this championship. You know, you got your Ant Edwards, you got your SGAs, you know, you got your Jalen Brunson in the Knicks, you know, you got your Halliburtons. Like, the young bucks are showing and proving this playoff season.
Yeah, I still think it's the Thunder's title to lose. They're big betting favorites, almost minus 200. Knicks are a super fun team. They're really fun, and they're really likable. They're really likable, and like we said last week, they really give a dang. Like, they really want to play hard for each other, mm-hmm. which I like. I mean, I don't care for their fans, but that's just the Boston thing.
That's the Boston.
Ant-Man, like, he's coming for everybody's soul, neck. Man. Yeah. We talk about all the people he's knocked out the last couple of years in the playoffs. It's just one legend after another. And so he's looking to take that another bigger leap. And then you got this ragtag group of guys from Indiana who
most people don't know.
They're like, what about us? Them. What about us?
Are they even on your fantasy team? Who knows? You wouldn't know them if you walked in and be like, man, that guy's tall. And then, but they can play. They can ball. And nice. You doubt them kind of at your own peril. Yeah. As we saw, you know, what they did the previous round to the Cavs, who were the best team in the East this year. You know, it's wide open. I think, what was the stat I saw? These four teams have a combined two titles. Mm-hmm. And the last one was
1979.
And the last one was 50 years ago.
In the four, three teams have never got to the finals, right? Isn't that what it is? And
well,
are we
counting the Seattle championship for Oklahoma City?
No, you can't count that.
Yeah, I mean, you can. Well, it is counted because that technically was their.
Is it though?
I think. Well,
I mean, we shouldn't.
I don't think it is. And then
the stat I saw had it listed.
And the Knicks haven't won since 1973.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so now everyone's saying Jalen Brunson, all-time Nick. And I want to ask Stephen A. Smith who his favorite Nick is in all-time, but also where does he stand? And I know he's probably mentioned this before because God knows he's on everything. But also, like, where does he stand? You can't tell me you like him more than some of the old Knicks, can you? I mean, I know you hate the Knicks. I understand that. I love Patrick Ewing because I love the way he played and I respect the way he played. I know you're excited to watch Reggie Miller call this game
because
of all the history. And of all the history.
Someone was listening pre-show.
Someone pays attention all the time. But I just think it's fun. I'll take it. I'm sorry to watch Boston go out the way they did, but I'm excited for Rich because, God, he loves the Knicks. And, right, God, they've sucked for so long.
Sorry, now I just realized I do have a question for Stephen A. about
okay.
the Knicks.
And?
Well, I'll wait till he's on and ask him then.
He does not like a pre-interview, so don't ask him ahead of time.
Oh, I'm not going to. That's why I'm not going to tell you now.
Who are we rooting for in this NBA? Who to win the championship?
I told you, man. I told you 3 weeks ago. I just feel, because I love the city of New York, I love everything about New York, I feel the Knicks winning is what's best for business. I mean, New York is going to, I don't know. I'm almost afraid.
Then we have to hear from their, I'm going to be polite, their fans.
That's fine.
For the next year. That's so annoying.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun because if it were the Jets, I'd say, are you out of your mind? They suck. They're always going to suck. Okay. And they suck.
Thank you for saying that.
But if it's the Knicks,
like the Cowboys.
We haven't always sucked.
But if it's the Knicks, I don't know why I'm okay with it. Maybe I love
the Knicks. Haven't always
so
sucked.
Much.
Like they've made the finals.
Right.
The thing about Knicks fans is like they're expecting. You know, it's kind of how the Boston fans were forever. Like, how are we going to blow this? Like the other shoe is going to drop. So they really don't know how to. You see them. They're going nuts after second round wins because they don't really know how to act. This is all new,
that's what's so
kind of
cool
territory, which is cool, but
right.
You know, I'm
going for him. You know,
I'm caught.
You're
here.
A nicer person than I am, TJ.
I tried to.
Yes, he is. Do you? Here's where I'm caught. Do I want to encourage the Knicks? I want to go behind the Knicks so I see Rich is happy, because you know he can be Mr. Gloom and Doom when it comes to sports, and I understand that because he's a Jets fan. That said. I like OKC so much.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching. I like Shea. I like everything about SGA and how he leads. The thing with Anthony Edwards that bothers me the most is the rejection of, like, I don't want to be the face of the NBA. Like, dude, wear it as a crown. Be psyched about it because your career could be over like that, you know? So I kind of just have an issue with anybody who complains a little too much. Like, oh, I don't want the attention. I don't want to be that guy. What are you talking about? Why are you playing the game? Why wouldn't you want to have that attention? So that's where I stand on that. I kind of, to be nice to my husband, do I want the Knicks to win as a Celtics person growing up? That sounds stupid. It sounds dumb.
It's not great. It's not,
not a good look.
I mean, I can't. I think I'm pulling for the Ant-Man.
You are?
I think so.
Should we bet on this?
He's fun, dude.
This
is the thing, right? The Ant-Man is great. I know people don't like Rudy Gobert, but like that's a fun team.
And you know,
and the Ant-Man is ready to take this league over.
I really wouldn't have a problem with any of the four, right? But like the story of the T-Wolves and the Knicks meeting in the finals with that trade.
Yeah.
And if one of those teams wins the championship this year, that trade has to go down as one of the most important trades
in
NBA history, right?
But like, it's the kind of the rare trade in all of sports, really. That was win-win.
Yeah.
They're both in the Final Four. Both the players involved in the trade.
Superstars for superstars.
Superstars, and they've been awesome. Like, Kat disappeared a little bit, but he played great. You saw the ovation he got at the Yankee game?
It was so
Everybody
sick.
Loves Kat. He's awesome. We love Kat.
Did you guys send him anything? How come he sends stuff here all the time?
Because he's trolling.
Because he's worth, he's got two commas in his bank. Two commas, you know, so that's why he sends mariachi bands and things.
I mean, we could send him a tweet like, hey, congratulations.
Congrats.
I think you guys should do something like that.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I'm telling you right now. Like, why do I have to think of this? You guys should be ahead of this.
Because you're a player.
I know.
I'm on 2 hours
You're smarter
sleep.
Than us.
I might still be hungover from the weekend.
I know. That said, like, let's go. Let's send him a tweet. Why don't we send him like a nice a care package? Why don't you send them something that says, Kat, I love you. Or like Rich Eisen show.
I think a tweet would be easier.
Is it personally from us? Because he knocked my team out, and then he was trolling TJ.
Yeah, he ruined my football season.
You know what I mean? So like, is it like a show thing, or is it individually Chris and TJ?
It's a show thing. Why, you want to pay for it?
No, we figured.
Show
I was
going
to expense that.
Like you have a credit card, I'm sure that we can, you know, just slide and pay and send stuff with.
Who are you rooting for? Call us and tell us who you're rooting for.
Yeah. So 844-204-RICH is the number to call. I mean, I love the win-loss. It's stacking up. I'm going to take every single one of your calls. And if I don't take it today, I'll be here tomorrow. And then Rich is back on Wednesday.
Maybe.
And he may have missed his flight.
You may have permanently Wally Pipped him by Wednesday.
Dude, I could care less. I'll take it. When we come back, Chris Mad Dog Russo joins us. I can't wait to see him. And we'll ask him his thoughts on that. What do you send a guy for moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Factor. Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50. T's and C's apply.
Larry David, we've done this before with you.
Yeah.
I've got three social situations. You are the judge and jury as to what is done.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
First one is destination weddings. Okay.
It's already funny.
Destination weddings. I say to my wife, we're going to a destination wedding. We should not give a present because my presence is my present. What do you say, Larry David?
First of all, where is the wedding? How far is it?
Another country.
Okay, you don't even go. You don't go. You don't go.
But it's a close family friend.
I don't care. I am not flying 14 hours on a plane.
Yes.
To somebody's wedding. I'm not going to do that.
What the distance from your house that you
would... An hour and a half by car. That's it.
Here's social situation number two for you, Larry David.
Sure.
So you're going into somebody's house for, let's say, the fight, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. This
okay.
happened to one of our producers,
sure.
Ken
okay.
Tulo, okay?
Okay.
They brought desserts. Fight ends. Nobody's touched the desserts. They like these desserts. Is it okay to take the desserts home?
It's still,
it's a perishable.
You're bringing it to the host, right?
That's true.
The host saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if the host didn't see it, then you could sneak out with it.
So if the host never saw it, if
the
you placed it on
it.
The table and there's no note,
Yeah.
That's when you could take it.
If you think you're not going to get caught, yeah, then you could take it.
Last one for you, Larry. LD, shoes off on a plane. Do you have a problem with somebody on a plane?
I have a big problem with it. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Keep them on, okay? You know, don't make yourself, it's not your house, all right? You're outside, you're in public. I don't want to see your socks. And God forbid you have a little odor down there. Who needs that, right?
And I don't even want to know if you do have it.
Exactly. It's close quarters. Come on. Take a couple of mints. Keep your shoes on.
So those who take their shoes off with shorts on and then put their socked feet up on the bulkhead?
Oh, God almighty. No, no good. Oh, God. That is out.
Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Rich is taking off a very needed couple days. I may not let him back in the chair, and that's just perfectly fine by me. Chris Russo joins me now here, and you're always so generous with your time. I super appreciate it. Good to see you.
Hello, Susie. How you doing?
Thanks, I'm good. Awesome. I'm really good. My kid hit her first three-pointer over the weekend, so I'm riding on that.
Good for you.
I'm just saying that these are my priorities in life, okay? These are my priorities.
Absolutely.
What do you think? Should we talk baseball first or basketball? What do you want to talk about?
Well, both are important. Probably the NBA, because, you know, you probably will have two good conference finals. I would think, top of my head, I like the Knicks and OKC. I like the Knicks in seven. I don't think Indiana will win a game seven on a road again. I think that'll be a very competitive series. I would not be shocked if Pacers won. They don't like each other. I think that's a hell of a series. I think OKC got out of that Denver series. They had to play a seventh game, some pressure on them. I think, although Minnesota's very good, I think OKC will win that series. I think that series will be a long one, too. I'm going to say Pacers in six. So I think Thunder in six. So I'll say Thunder, Knicks in the final.
Wow, I love it. If you're going to build a team, do you take Shea Gilgeous-Alexander or do you take Anthony Edwards?
I was just thinking about that. I think that's the combination everybody's going to discuss. Two young stars. I would take SGA. I think he's got a little bit more to his game. I think if Edwards doesn't score, I think he's a better closer. But if he doesn't score, he may not be as effective. I think I got to see a little more, especially of SGA. We've seen Edwards play plenty. He's been in the playoffs last year. I can't judge the Memphis series. He had to work hard here in the Denver series. I got to see, and yes, he was such a blowout, I can't get a read on it. Game two was such a blowout, I can't get a read on it. I got to see a little more. I'll see it in this series, but I would take SGA. It's a good question.
Well, I just think that he seems like he wants it more. I really have an issue still from Anthony Edwards saying he doesn't want to be the face of the league. To me, it's like, then why are you playing? I don't love that. I don't love that energy. And I just love the fact
that greatness. With greatness comes some responsibility. I know. I'm not sure. I mean, plus the fact he doesn't know anybody. You know, he's never heard of Larry Bird, which drives you crazy. He wouldn't know Moses Malone if he fell on him, which drives you crazy because he said some, you know, crazy things about the older player, which drives me crazy. But listen, he's a tremendous offensive player. He's an excellent, he's a good clutch, you know, he's a good closer. I mean, he's, you know, last year he got a little outshined by Luka. That will be an interesting matchup with those two. I think Brunson and Halliburton's, that would be the other combination of people will look at. But Indiana's got three point guards. You know, Nebhard and O'Connell, they have other guys. Brunson, if he doesn't play well, the Knicks can't win. Indiana's got a couple of other ways they can beat you in the backcourt. But Brunson is better than Halliburton. But if he's off, I'm not sure what plan B would be. I think that SGA and Brunson are the two better point guards in the Final Four. But I do think the backup contingency for Indiana, part two, is better than what the Knicks have, which then will make it a more interesting series. And that's a hell of a series. I think OKC will definitely win. I think Pacers-Knicks, I'm giving the edge to the Knicks because of home court, but I would not be shocked if Indiana won. I'd be pretty surprised if Minnesota won.
And then who takes it all then?
I think OKC right now is the best team.
All right.
I think getting out of this Denver series the way they got out of it will help them, Susie, here down the road. I think it put a little toughness in them. I think they faced they had to play an elimination game. They do have home court. I think their alley-oop deal is great with Hartenstein and, of course, with Holmgren. Mm-hmm. I think that will help Oklahoma City in the long run having this rough second round.
What's your favorite memory of the Knicks-Pacers series when it was Reggie Miller staring down Spike Lee?
I think that game seven, the year the Knicks got to the final in 94, I went to game six. That's when the Knicks beat Indiana in Indiana down 3-2 after Reggie's 25-point third quarter. I went to game six at the old Market Square Arena. Miller did nothing in the game, and Derek Harper played great. Knicks won by four. And then game seven, that great game, Larry Brown coaching Indiana. That's game seven in the Eastern Conference Final. Ewing had 22 rebounds. He stood up on a scorer's table. That was a tremendous game, that game seven. So that game to me, when they played, now listen, the finger roll that Ewing missed, Indiana still had to play Orlando to get to the finals. The Knicks, when they beat him in six, that was good, but they got murdered by San Antonio. The following year, Indiana got through that series, and they got beat by the Lakers. I like the first one in 94. Knicks probably should have won the NBA championship that year. Should have beaten Houston. That's the OJ year with the Bronco. Game five, 2-2. And then the Knicks ended up winning that game. That to me, that seventh game was a great, great game. I like that the best. Now, Ewing missed the finger roll game seven. That was tremendous. That was the following year. Riley's ever last game coaching the Knicks before he went to Miami. We know about the whole thing with Knicks Pacers Bird against the Knicks. They split the two series. But for whatever the reason, that first time they played in seven, I love that game. Love the game.
How do you remember this? This is so insane to me. It's like having an encyclopedia here.
Well, remember, Susie, I was here. I was doing radio in New York. I was at all the games. I traveled to all the games. I was not at Game 7 of you, the game I just explained, because it was the Rangers were playing Vancouver. So I went right from Indianapolis, and I flew to Game 6 in Vancouver. No, it was Game 3. Flew Game 3, Vancouver, Canucks, Rangers, when the Rangers won there. See, in 94, the Rangers were a far bigger story than the Knicks, because the Rangers hadn't won in 50 years.
Yes.
So the Rangers, they both got to the final. The Rockets beat the Knicks in seven, but the Rangers were the story in New York City. I know it's hard to believe now. The Knicks were not the big story. They were a big story, but not like the Rangers.
No, I remember that
other
because
years in
I remember
the late
that.
90s,
I remember that again. Because I that was the year I graduated from school. And I was flying to Boston from LaGuardia, and I recognized Dan Shaughnessy from his caricature from the Boston Globe, because he was covering the Rangers Stanley Cup. So I walked up to him and said, hi, you know, I'm Susie Schuster, I'm graduating, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that was how I got my start in journalism, because I recognized Dan from his caricature. I think,
wow.
I'm like, it's either
good job.
Bill Walton or it's Dan Shaughnessy. I don't know which one it is, because they kind of look the same at the time. And that was like, that's why you said Rangers 94. I'm like, that was basically my entree into this whole world, was because I recognized him from his caricature. So yes,
well, the Rangers that year won a President's Cup. They were down 3-2 to the Devils. Messier said, I guarantee we're going to win game six. Then he goes out and gets three goals. And then the Rangers had to play a seven-game series against Vancouver. I know this sounds crazy, and I wasn't in a Pirate locker room in 91 when Sid Bream scored the game-winning run, and the Pirates blew the 2-0 ninth inning lead in game seven against the Braves. But the most devastating locker room that I've seen in my lifetime doing this for 45 years was the Devils in game seven against the Rangers in 94. They lost in double overtime on the Matogo goal. It was a weird goal. The Devils tied it up late in the third period in game seven. They lost 2-1. Everybody felt that the winner of that game was going to win the Stanley Cup. That's the most devastating locker room I've ever seen in sports, in a spot, and that was game seven. The Rangers run in those two seven-game series are a huge deal in New York history because of the distance between the previous title. The Knicks, this run is fascinating. And here's what I would say about the Knicks fan going crazy on Friday night. Guys, it's a conference final. He didn't win the NBA championship. I mean, the people running on 7th Avenue on Friday night, take it easy. I mean, the Knicks have, I know it's been a while, but
they're
the Knicks
so
have been
hungry.
Conference finals.
Yeah,
take it easy.
They're dying.
He didn't win the NBA
there.
Championship.
Yeah, I mean, they are acting like, I have to say, that is so true. And I'm not saying that because I'm from Boston, and I know that Chris is over there basically just trying to bite his tongue because he's so bitter and upset about what happened with Boston. But It was a little early. It's a little premature for the celebration.
A little. Take it easy. Jeez. I mean, you beat a wounded Celtic team. Give yourself credit. Great job. But come on. Take it. Now, the one thing I would say about the Knicks fans, Uzo, and you know that, unlike the Yankees and the Mets fan, if the Yankees go to the World Series, the Mets fan's not going to root for the Yankees. Yankees aren't going to root for the Mets. Jets are not going to root for the Giants, vice versa. The Devil and Islander fan are not going to root for the other team. There's no Nets fans. They are the worst. Nobody cares about the Nets in Brooklyn, in New York. Nobody. So everybody who follows basketball likes the Knicks because the Nets have no impact whatsoever. So that has got – they unify better than any of the other teams here because the other teams have other – there's too many teams in each sport, and then the team's fans don't like each other. The Knicks fan doesn't care about Brooklyn. The Brooklyn fan kind of likes the Knicks. So from that standpoint, it's a unification deal, but way over the top on Friday night, over the top.
You brought up the Yankees-Mets, so I'll head over there right now. First of all, I saw a shot of Juan Soto standing there talking to Aaron Judge, and you forget about just how giant Aaron Judge is until you see Soto next to him. You think about how much money that is, and it's so crazy to think about. But I was watching the game with Cooper, our son, who's a total just Yankees, I mean, just homer. Rich has really got him in there. So I lost the Red Sox. I got the Celtics. But that said, what are your thoughts on that series? Because there was so much buildup in advance and all the jerseys and all the T-shirts and just going after Soto for being a Yankee traitor. What was your thoughts on watching that series go down the way they did?
I think this Soto is a Yankee traitor thing is a bunch of freaking unbelievable nonsense. He was there for 1 year. Every Yankee fan in America who knows anything about Soto knew that re-signing him was not going to be easy. They also knew that Cohen had more money than anybody. And if he went to the Mets, he went to the Mets. This is not Aaron Judge, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, who left after 15 years to go somewhere else. This is Soto, who would play on the moon if it was $5 more. That's just the way it is. He's a mercenary, and I don't begrudge him that. But now at the end of the day, maybe he'll be a Met if he goes to the Hall of Fame. But he was on Washington, he was on San Diego, he was on the Yankees. No Yankee fan should be floored that somehow Soto decided to go somewhere else. Plus, Soto is a big reason why the Yankees got by a very bad group of teams, but a big reason why Soto got to the World. Helped them get to the World Series anyway. Game 5, that home run. He had a great postseason. So the idea that the Yankee fan now feels betrayed, that is a bunch of garbage. Throw in the idea that half that building last night's Mets fans, and on Friday night, and on Saturday night. So the idea that he was walking into enemy territory, I know that building's, both of them, better than anybody. There was as many Met fans there last night as there were Yankee fans, for crying out loud. Not as many, but you get the idea. So the idea that somehow he was walking into a walking cauldron of hatred. If that was the case, it's stupid because he was there for 1 year, and I don't buy it anyway, for that matter. I saw the three games. I saw a lot of at-bats. I saw the first at-bat on Friday night. I didn't get the idea that somehow, some way, this is something historically bad. I was there when Bonds came in with the Giants on a Friday night when he was the steroid guy. They booed him a lot worse than they booed Soto. So I thought myself, it was a little overblown. And, the Yankees did what the Yankees have done a good job spending their money. Here's the thing I'm going to say about the Mets. The Mets are a horrific defensive team. Alonso's not a good defensive first baseman. The whole world knows that. Vientos at third base is not Brooks Robinson. The whole world knows that. Soto is a terrible defensive right fielder, and he's not a good base runner. He's a sublime hitter, but he's not a good outfielder, and he's not a good base runner. So the Mets have a problem in right field. Jeff McNeil is playing center field last night. He's not Willie Mays. And Nemo is not a great left fielder. They're pretty good middle of the infield with Pena and with Acuna and Lindor, but the Mets are not a good defensive team, and that could hurt them in big series down the road. But that's what I took out of that series, and of course the Yankees have done a pretty good job. Coach Schmidt's been good. Grissom's been good. Judge has been unworldly-like. Freed's done a great job. Rodon has actually pitched better than normal. The Yankees have, and that division is not that good. So the Yankees have done a good job in the American League East.
You mentioned Max Fried. I saw this great stat. Lowest ERA in the first 10 starts for Yankees since numbers were recorded in 1913. Phil Niekro, 1984, 1.20. Max Fried, 1.29. Allie Reynolds, 1952. You don't get a lot of Allie Reynolds mentions in here.
Yeah.
One third. I mean, listen, I try to give some stats. Try to bring some like knowledge behind all of this vitriol. But, you know, Max Fried is pitching his head off. And
not only that, he's done a great job because he's had pressure on him because Cole's out. I mean, so he was going to be Robin to Cole's Batman, and then he had to become Batman, transform himself. He has done a tremendous job. Everybody moaned and groaned about giving him too much money, $210 million. You know, that's the going rate for a starting pitcher. That was a godsend for the Yankees. Now, Rondon is a terrible contract. I know he's pitched better. I wouldn't trust him in a big spot if my life depended on it. Last year, Game 2, Dodgers World Series is all you need to know about that. But Fried's pitched in a World Series. He won Game 6 against the Astros to win the title in 2000 and whatever year it was, 20 or 21? 21. So I have faith in him in a big spot, and that was a good, you know, let's give Cashman, I know he's got a lot of resources, he's done a great job. I mean, Goldschmidt was a tremendous find. Chisholm, good find. Obviously, Fried, excellent signing. Bellinger has done a good job. He's done a good job of putting the pieces together. Yankees are going to win that division. Are they a great team? No. But the American League, I don't know if you believe in Detroit. The Yankees they've done a hell of a job. So let's give the Yankees some credit putting that team together.
Chris, what's the weirdest story you've ever covered? I'm just thinking as you go over all these years of history, like what's the story that you're like, I cannot believe I'm covering this?
Probably Deflategate.
Yeah.
You know, the football scenario is crazy. Now, here is something, you know, I was really down on Brady for that. Everybody else was down on Goodell for giving the 4-game suspension. I had Fred Jackson on in that Super Bowl in Phoenix. Okay, that's when that was, when he beat Seattle, and he was still the talk of the town. Fred Jackson, running back of the Bills, on the radio said, Chris, he didn't say Chris. He said, let me tell you something. If anybody thinks a deflated football is not an advantage, you're crazy. It's much easier not to fumble with a deflated football than it is when it's deflated. And I took that to meaning that Brady got himself an undue advantage. If he would have handled that differently, it wouldn't have been a big deal. They would have given him a fine. That's the end of it. I think the Spygate thing made it difficult for the commissioner because of all the juice with the owners giving him grief that the Patriots got off scot-free. But that Deflategate thing on top of Spygate, Brady, Belichick, the Patriot organization, they always win. I thought that was the weirdest one we ever had to cover, that one. Was strange.
Yeah. Well, this Belichick story gets stranger by the day, too, so I'm going to add that to the list.
And Michael Strahan was not Mike Wallace on Friday on Good Morning America, I might add. Go ahead.
I missed it. What happened?
Oh, God, you missed nothing. One of the most awkward interviews I've ever seen in my life. ABC, what ABC did there, ABC gave carte blanche to Belichick. Bill, we want you on. You tell us what questions you want to ask. And
you
that
can't
is a
do that. You can't do
horrific
that.
100%. ABC was horrific. That essentially they sold their journalism chops to make sure Belichick, as he was in the news, was on the air. That was a horrific job by a worthy news organization. And then they put Strahan in a tough spot because we all know Strahan is, again, he's not Mike Wallace. He's an ex-football player. No knock against Strahan, but that's an impossible situation. One of his old coaching brethren, he's not going to put him on the spot. And if you're going to have Belichick on the air in that situation, you got to ask him about Malcolm Butler. You got to ask him about not Bob Kraft in your book. You got to ask him about how it ended with New England. You got to ask him why somehow he didn't get the Atlanta job 2 years ago. There's so many things you got to ask him, and they asked him nothing. It was oh my God, it was bad. Anyway, that was a strange one the other day.
I love it when you get wound up. It makes me so very happy. Chris,
you got me warmed up for 3 o'clock.
Listen, I mean, honest to God, it just makes me so happy. It's like you're my favorite person to call because oftentimes if I don't have time to get ready, I can just ask you one question and we get through like the entire segment. It's fantastic.
And I can give you some stuff. I'm also down on the horse. Sovereignty, who didn't run into Preakness. I got Mike McCarthy on today, the trainer of journalism. What a job he did getting that horse to run in that race. I will do that. I'll be all over today. I'll be flying.
You always are. Thanks again for your time, and thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Have fun. Keep your head down.
Legend.
All right, let's
legend.
He's just a legend, and I love him. Let's take a break. Let's get a sports update with Andrew Bogich.
Are you surprised the Giants let you walk Saquon Barkley?
I feel like, during the time leading up to the negotiations before I hit free agency, I didn't really hear from them, leading up to that time. So I kind of had an idea of what was going to happen. So obviously everyone got to see Hard Knocks. I wasn't really surprised by that, but I look at it as a blessing. I'm in a new chapter. I'm thankful, for all those guys over there in New York for the 6 years that I had there. Learned a lot. Feel like I won't be the player I am today or the man I am today without my time there. And now I'm in a new chapter, and I'm super excited about it and blessed with this opportunity and focused on taking advantage of the opportunity I have here and off to a great start. And got to be consistent. That's my whole mindset for this whole season. How consistent can I be? And that starts, getting ready for week 2.
No, not to equate myself with you at all. We don't have the same quads, just as a for instance. But, I spent 7 years at ESPN before going to NFL Network. And ESPN was my identity professionally, right? Like, they gave me my start. They drafted me, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. But they let me walk. They let me walk to another spot. And, it's a chip. It's still a chip on this. I'm 22 years now at NFL Network. It's still a chip for me. But I was still stunned, and it definitely surprised me. I'm wondering if that leaves a chip with you. But trust me, everything's worked out for me. I'm very happy with everything that has worked out with the opportunity I was given to be let walk. But I'm wondering if you have a chip.
I think that's a great question, and no one ever presented that question to me. And I would agree, it does leave a chip on your shoulder, but I always have a chip on my shoulder no matter what. I feel like that God's blessed me with tremendous talent, and I want to go out there and try to be one of the best running backs to ever play the game. I studied all the greats, and the saying, study the greats to become greater. So did it leave a little chip on my shoulder? Did it hurt a little bit? Yeah, of course, but I am thankful for the opportunity. And sometimes, sometimes they say the grass ain't always greener, but looking at them right here, my family's happy, I'm happy, I'm smiling more. It's just everything about me is trending upward. So I'm just super blessed with opportunity, but a chip is on my shoulder, not just because of the Giants let me walk, just because there's something that I want to do. I'm on a mission and I want to accomplish it. That starts, like I say, continue to go back to being consistent and getting ready for week 2.
You said on a mission. What is your mission, Saquon Barkley?
Be consistent. Be consistent. Every day, someone challenged me to see how consistent I can be. Always been a very constant person, but how consistent can I be? And that's my mindset. Every day, come in 1%, get better, and improve. And I feel like when I have that mindset, when I look back on the end of the season, I'm gonna be happy with how things played off.
It's so funny. Rich said that people are freaking out over how many times he takes his glasses off and on.
Oh, I saw you get called out for it, too.
Did I?
Yeah.
What did they say?
No one called. You take yours on an awful lot.
I can't see.
And people were saying it in the comments. I saw it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, I
so is that the
comment.
Thing in your house? Is that just a house thing?
No, just old.
Take your glasses like, off.
What is it a house thing? Thing?
It's a house thing.
I can either read this or I can't read it. Look me down. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show, I am Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. I will not apologize for wearing my glasses. I can't see. God, you got Christopher. From one Christopher to another. I think we have some breaking
Susie.
News on the NFL
yeah,
front.
Yeah, breaking news. Hit it, my gear.
Here it comes.
And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news out of Philadelphia. TJ, sorry, you're going to stick with Nick Sirianni a few more years. The Philadelphia Eagles have announced today a multi-year extension for head coach Nick Sirianni. Jeffrey Lurie, owner, chairman, CEO, said, quote, as an organization, we've always strived to create a championship culture of sustained success. Nothing is more important to fostering an environment than having tremendous leadership. Nick has embodied everything we're looking for in a head coach since we hired him 4 years ago. His authentic style of leadership, I guess that's what we're calling it, football intelligence, passion for the game, and growth mindset have helped to bring out the best in our team. Excited for the future for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, no details on years or money, but it is multi-year. And look, all this guy has done is win, TJ, since he's taken over in Philadelphia. 48 wins, 20 losses in the regular season, 71%, 6-3 in the playoffs, went to a Super Bowl, and obviously won last year. Dude gets it done. Say what you want about his style and his demeanor and how he behaves. 43 years old, already a Super Bowl champion. He's off to one of the best starts as a head coach in NFL history. I don't think that's going on a limb saying that. This guy's a winner, man. He's going to be around for a long time.
Why wouldn't you take care of business with him? I would take care of business. Well, that doesn't sound great. I would sign that guy up so fast. And are you sad over there, TJ?
Am I sad?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I'm a statistics-based person, Susie, and statistically speaking, Nick Sirianni is 3-4 against the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, so wow, he went there.
A winning record against him. But no, I mean, in all honesty, taking the fandom out of it, it's refreshing to see an organization who actually does things in a timely manner.
right.
So now their fan base and their media don't have to worry about this. They can concentrate on another story and not have this be a dark cloud hanging over the way Geppetto Jones does.
And the
with
thing
everyone
too, TJ, it's not even timely. They're early.
They're early
yes. on everything. They're early on Devontae Smith. They're early on AJ Brown. They're early on re-signing their stars.
It's efficient NFL news.
And now they've done it with their head coach.
And what did
again.
They do last year?
They won the Super Bowl.
Oh, so maybe I don't know. You would take notes and be like, well, if they did this, maybe we should do this. But what
they
do
won
I know?
They won the Super Bowl.
Vincent Goodwill is up ahead, guys. Stephen A. Smith will be joining us. And your calls, 844-204-RICH is the number to call.
Yeah, they didn't just win the Super Bowl, TJ. Yeah. They were up 34-0 on the two-time defending champ.
I would throw a house at him. I would throw a boat. I would throw a cars. Stay here.
You missed the most obvious
stay
throw.
Stay here.
Cheesesteaks. You throw cheesesteaks.
Yeah. You know, I've never had a cheesesteak in my life.
What? No.
Whoa.
Hold on.
Woman.
Never had a cheesesteak in my life.
Hold on. Jersey Mike's is right around the corner. I'm my boy Daniel.
Is that a cheesesteak? I thought that was like a deli sandwich.
You make a great cheesesteak.
Yeah. There is a Philly cheesesteak truck in Los Angeles.
Where?
That is
amazing.
It's a truck. It bebops around town.
It's a truck, so it moves.
It is as good as what you would get in Philadelphia.
100%.
You know, I bring you guys stuff all the time.
You want us to bring you a cheesesteak?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Okay.
Why is that so aggressive?
Not aggressive.
No, you said, wow. Like,
it's
me asking
surprising.
You for something
no, not
was,
at all.
Was so out of
it
line.
It was not out of line.
I bring these Jamokes donuts, croissants. Well, I bring booze for you.
In our defense, you brought nothing today.
By the way, he said that. Your man. Your man said that. That's your man.
That's your guy.
That's your guy over there. He said that.
It was a decision between getting gas or donuts this morning.
We needed you here. So you made the right decision. So, yeah.
I knew it.
Your man complained. He was the first one. Stop the clock.
Make the girl bring the stuff.
9:55.
Make the girl get the stuff.
Here we go.
9:55.
No, we make the person with the most discretionary income get the stuff. So that would
That'd be Brogman. That'd be Jay Felly.
That'd be Jay Felly, not here.
Right.
So that'd be you.
I was, you know, and I felt badly.
And another thing.
I was going to take a call now, but now I'm upset. I will take all the calls. By the way, you guys are up next. I see the phones are lit. And by the way, this will be next. But now I'm so upset about TJ. You just turned on me. And now I would never turn.
How dare you?
I thought to myself as I passed the La Tijera exit, I thought to myself, do I stop and get donuts and risk being late?
No. I would never turn on you. You know, if I did that, my mom would turn on me.
That's right.
You know,
and I was going to bring you a croissant.
Mimosas you want to be my latex
and
salesman.
You want to. So much more ahead.
Nothing but love, Susan.
On the Rich Eisen Show. I mean, so nothing but love, except you're willing to take a swing at me
music?
On the air. I know. I'm like, am I going to break?
Well, it's coming close. Coming soon.
Are we all effed up right now? What is happening?
Now I hear you, Mike. No, Mike, that other mic's here rolling music. I'm trying to talk here. We got 15 seconds to break.
Here
you're
go.
come down on me for not bringing you breakfast foods.
I would never.
Let's just start bench cut. What breakfast food do you start? What do you bench? And what do you cut?
Baby.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.